Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, we hope this is an educational grassroots program. You are listening to the only show that provides you the academic evidence. That's why we read the Constitution. That's why we read these documents, because the solutions are very clear. The solutions aren't stopping the impeachment. The solutions aren't, you know, allowing the narrative from the mainstream media to dictate what we do and how we act and how we react. Bottom line, I've told you and I've told you and I've told you that things are going to continually go down this path of either getting worse. And the reasons why they're going to get worse is because they're being fed by the progressives. They want to persist with a problem, just like the run on banks and so forth. They want to create a big enough catastrophe. They want to create a big enough problem to where you finally say, okay, my hands are up, I'm waving the white flag, I surrender. Take my liberties. And your kids are already there. Your kids are already been indoctrinated that the last thing they need is to be a part of a self-government system and so forth. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You know, when it comes to the impeachments or when it comes to the Second Amendment rights and so forth, there will always be these arguing sides, these pro and cons. And 9 times out of 10, when you're watching the progressive media, even when you're listening to the conservative media, it's always the bias. But more importantly, they're not talking about the facts. And the facts are the constitutionality of what we're supposed to do. That's why I want to plug real quick the article that we have on reclaimingtherepublic.org on our constitutional perspective page. And I believe it's also on our constitutional our constitutional articles. So you can click on the second link from the home, or it's right underneath the home link on the right-hand side, or just go all the way down to the constitutional perspective. If you go to the constitutional perspective page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will find that the article is actually right there in bold print, so you can just read it right there from the site. Or on the constitutional articles, that's where you can actually download the PDF so you can, you know, read it when you're offline, have access to it, or forward it to other people. It's probably that one article right there is probably the biggest shot across the bow that one can actually read. It speaks very specifically to how bad things really are. And so what I could do is I could actually sit here and make a lot of good jokes about arguing the nuances over all of these different issues, because bottom line, we don't have any control over it. So why are we wasting time arguing the nuances of them? They are working diligently to take away your liberties. They're working diligently to propel the next election into the direction that they want, whether that's the re-election of Trump or what have you. I have told you, and I have told you, the general government, regardless of whether that's Trump or even whether that was me, if you elected G.R. Mobley as president of the United States, I would not have the power, nor would I have the authority to fix the federal government. I would have to go on a long-term campaign as president and going to every state, speaking to every state legislative body, speaking to the people of those states. that you have to fix this problem. This is your constitution. It is not the federal government's. We have been delegated. That's why we read these things. Oh, by the way, we got another video in the making. It's kind of going to be a a raw video, but it is a sample that we're doing for an upcoming important meeting this weekend. And so we'll actually hope to have that video available either this weekend or maybe sometime next week, just like this article. It's about time to fire hose you with all, I mean, it's not that I don't fire hose you with this all this data, but we do go back and forth through all of the founding documents, and I try to connect the dots, but very rarely do we have the opportunity to actually give you, I would just say the in your face, what is it going to take? What will it take to get you to get engaged? That's what the marketing, that's what the, if you want to call them, the news and what the heck is going on in the news cycle, then, you know, that's how we poke you in the eye. But what we want to do is we want to get you doing something that will actually alleviate all our problems, or at least over 90% of the problems that government's involved in, well over 90. So what I would ask, and I mentioned this yesterday, today's episode, yesterday's episode, and probably tomorrow's episode are ones for the making. This is where we're going to get into really exposing. This is how we prove that we're public enemy number one when it comes to big government and the big socialist movement. We are talking, and we're being very specific here, what it takes to bring down the progressive globalist communist movement. So, we're going to get back into the 14th Amendment. We were still in Section 1 when we kind of ran out of time, and we're going to get into the Oath of the Citizen as well. Next, we're going to dive into the ex post facto laws and how those and bills of attainder are coming down this path of, and as a matter of fact, if you want to look at bills of attainder, one of the ways that they have kind of created this bills of attainder is the education system. I mean, even though it's not a bill of actually outlawing, but the education system has used broad brush blankets, blanketed statements of the white male is the problem. That's what they're teaching in school. And it's almost tantamount to a bill of attainder. If you understand, a bill of attainder is, you know, going after a group and making them illegal or making, you know, identifying them as the problem. We can't trust these folks. And that's where we're starting to connect these dots. And that's where we start to, you know, understand why certain groups are being vilified. You know, the Nazis in Germany and the Italians, Mussolini, Lenin's, the socialist, the communist movement, every single one of these movements, it wasn't just Germany, every single one of these movements actually started going after and vilifying very specific people. They targeted very specific people. They created a paradigm that these people are bad. Next thing you know, it begot either a law and or action that we have to arrest these people for our own good. We have to put them away for our own good. Now, our listen line is 605-562-4209. So if you know somebody, send them this number, 605-562-4209. Just text it to them and say, hey, check, listen to this right now. Just send a text right now to somebody and say, hey, check this out, listen to this. And just say, you know, give it a few minutes and listen to what this guy is talking about. That way they will actually get at least a good dosage of what we talk about, because I really don't care about the things that I have no control over. I care about the things that we can actually do that will actually make the changes necessary to get us into the position we need to be in as a constitutional republic, right? And so I want to be clear here, folks. If you understand where we are and how much time we have left, now is the time to act. Now is the time to act. So really quick, I still have a minute. So let me plug Red State Coffee. If you're a coffee drinker, please check out Red State Coffee by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Click on that link. It'll take you to their website. Buy it online. It'll be shipped to you. It's free shipping. So check it out. Give us a call, 425-270-5416. And let us know what you think. Let us know, hey, that is probably one of the best Joes I've had. Anyway, that way we can actually use your endorsements as our endorsements, because bottom line, we want the listeners to actually help sponsor these ads. And I believe once you hear other listeners actually going on and on about the quality of our sponsor, then I believe you will find that it's not only just a worthwhile, but you're not wasting your money because you're getting a great product as well. There's other ways you can support, but probably the greatest way you can support is actually making the decision to step into the fray and become a constitutional warrior in your state legislature. Now, I've talked to people before, but I'm not going to go into this. I'll probably go into this maybe in a week or so. But I have talked to some state legislators, people that are considering it, and they're very apprehensive of going into details with me or actually being on my show. And I'll explain all of that as soon as we come back from the break. We got two promos. We'll be right back with this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Well, so there are state legislatures who are in either purple districts or blue districts. If you're in a red district, then coming on my show and getting endorsements, signing the pledge, and so forth will actually help you. However, those who live in a blue district, those who live in a purple district, you can easily be isolated and actually vilified for standing up for the Constitution. People consider the believe me, I live in a red county. It's actually kind of a purple county, but it's more red than blue. And the people, even the supposedly, and I'm using air quotes here, the Republican sheriff, who is Republican by name only, identifies those who, you know, speak and spout out the Constitution as the problem. We're radicalized. And I mean, actually, in his last presentation, the threat we face, he basically identifies those who adhere to and are champions of the Constitution as racist, white, angry, you know, terrorists. And I'm going, okay, see, that only proves the point that they are actually going after and vilifying people. And so the bottom line is what this Republican sheriff is supporting is he's supporting the movement of discarding the Constitution. So in a kind of red state, or I should say a red county where there's a few different legislative districts. Now there's a, you know, couple of them are actually red, but most of them, I would say most of the county is red, but there is still enough to where we actually constantly see, you know, things that happen that scratch our head. Why is it that Democrats who use the Republican name are able to get elected? Well, it's because that sheriff actually likes to help them. A great example is in a previous race, we had a member of the local Divisible, which is a hardcore leftist, it's almost like Antifa type of an organization, called herself, it was Brandy Petz, I believe, Pete's Petz, whatever. Anyway, she called herself a Republican, and even though she was associated with this group, and she was one of the founding members, and the sheriff supported her. It is that bad. And if this is not an outlier. We live in a red area. Like I said, this whole side of the state is red. But I'm here to tell you that even in your purple states, even in your red states that are kind of red, not hard red, dark red, you will find that there are, and actually the Democrats have been very successful in, it amazes me how in some of these dark red states, they've instituted laws that allow them to play around and do these shenanigans like crossover voting, to where the Democrats can quickly, you know, register as Republicans to change the outcome of a Republican primary so that the Democrat actually wins. That's how they do it. They use every tool possible. And remember, the ends justify the means. They don't care if they break the law. I remember, I can't forget in the 2000 election? Yeah, it was 2000 election with Gore and Bush. There were Democrats that were bragging that they had voted. One bragged that he voted 9 times in Wisconsin, each time for Gore. They brag about it. And the fact is, this guy was on the TV. They had media coverage of these people bragging, and not one of them was ever brought to justice. So we have a huge problem. We supposedly live in the rule of law, and nobody is abiding by the law, especially if the controlling deep state has their fingers in this. They're not going to go after these people. The same thing with Holder not going after the Black Panthers who intimidated voters from going in and voting at that polling place. I'm telling you, it's not going to get better. And people say, oh, well, but Trump is going to get it better. No, only you can get it better. Only the states have the authority. Even if G.R. Mobley was the president of the United States, I could not fix this problem. There is no authority in the Constitution to do it. That's why Republic Review and what Madison and Jefferson were literally, I'll just use attempt. Madison and Jefferson were attempting to do the exact same process that Republic Review is today. It's just they didn't have a name for it. They had this plan. They were trying to execute it. and they didn't communicate well. So that people, you know, years down the road, just like us today, when we look at their documents and so forth, they didn't say, hey, you know, we tried to do this and this was what we were planning on. They didn't have a full strategy. They didn't document that like I have. So it's all out there. You can look at the entire process on reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, don't forget, I want to tell you this. We are going to be going to do, or we will be doing a memorial for Elijah Cummings. But that's down the road. Now, all the studies that have been out there regarding, you know, people, sports, and everything else, right? And we do know that the NFL's still hurting. It's not hurting as bad as it was because the hyperbole, the discussion of social justice warriors is they're trying to marginalize it, even though it's still going on. But what about the NBA? Remember, I said this a week and a half ago. What about the NBA? The NBA supporting the suppression of free speech, where China is literally going after and shutting down people. The NBA is kowtowing to the Chinese. And so have you seen any of the fans react? Because that's the whole point here. Apparently, the NFL, the patronage of the NFL, there must be a lot of patriots. But maybe the NBA, they just don't have a lot of patriots that are their fans because I have not seen any hyperbole. I have not seen any rancor, any disdain coming from groups of fans within the NBA. Or is it just that I'm just reaching here, or is it really that the mainstream media is that influential to suppress that information so that the fans don't react? I have a hard time understanding this, my friends. I do not understand. But we'll see. Again, remember, results take time to measure, and the ripples are still moving in the pond. Let's find out, you know, what the ramifications are from all the ripples with the NBA becoming the lapdog for the Communist Chinese Party. Because I would love to see them financially affected just like the NFL. Any type of elitist, sports, whether they be musicians or what have you, they want to promote communism, but in actuality, their millions are coming from capitalism. You know, why don't you practice communism first and make sure that every player is paid equally, or every musician and every star shares their millions and billions of dollars that they're making with all of the rest in their industry so that it's an even playing field? Because, come on, practice what you preach. And until you do so, shut up. That's simple. Those two words, shut up. Prove that communism works in your little marketplace, in sports, in the entertainment industry, in the media. So the distractions are not going to ever end. And as a matter of fact, as we move through the school year and as shootings start to occur, whether they are really bad, effective mass shootings, or like the recent one of one student dead and a few injured or what have you, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. These are all high impact. These are, what do they call those? Shock value type of news. To put it in your face and say, how many more kids have to die before you're going to surrender and give up your guns? How dare you keep your guns? Kids are dying. Don't you know this? This is why you need to read that article. This article has the Second Amendment flavor. We're going to be doing some other very same content, but we're going to change it into a different context of medical, into education, and so forth. The point here is if you read this article, you will understand how we've been protected by the government ever creating a standing army, but they have been able to sidestep, and everything that they have done has allowed themselves to put themselves into leveraging federal tyranny, and that's why they're getting away with it. So you need to read that article. So, as I said, we're going to be focusing on the 14th Amendment, and so we're going to be getting into that in just a few seconds, or actually, let me just clarify, in a couple of minutes and seconds away, because when we come back from the break, we're going to actually get back into Section 1, and again, remember, we left off where no state shall pass any law that abridges your individual privileges and immunities. So after the break, we'll be diving back into the 14th Amendment and talking about these restrictions. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so the second clause in the 14th Amendment, Section 1, is that no state shall make or enforce any laws which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Which means that now includes freemen. This whole paradigm, because the first clause identified who were going to become citizens of the United States, because we already knew that there was a large block of people that were citizens, but they just added to that. And so they wanted to clarify that now you states can no longer pass any laws that abridge the privileges or immunities of the United States. And so what that means, as John Bingham clearly stated, was that these are the protections that are guaranteed by the Constitution. Now, he even went as far, because there was a lot of attempts for people to say that doesn't include the Bill of Rights. And on the floor of the House of Representatives, he said it does. As the author of that statement, it does include the Bill of Rights. Which means that is why when you you know, wonder, well, hold it. If the Bill of Rights only applies to the federal government, then how come the states are enforcing this right of religion, this freedom of speech, you know, the protection from illegal search and seizure and so forth? Why is it that states are enforcing the Bill of Rights and not just the federal government? Or I should say being restrained by the Bill of Rights. Because remember, they can't pass any law that infringes upon speech or religious expression or anything like that. Now, just work with me. Religious expression would be not allowing your faith to marry or give any business to, if you have a faith-based business, because you want to have let's say it's a Christian bakery, and somebody that comes along that challenges your Christian morals, and you say, well, I can't do that because this is my art. This is my expression. You cannot force me to do something that I have a conscientious objection. Remember, in the military, you can't be required to carry arms. You can be a conscientious objector. Somebody that is unwilling to actually go kill people. And you can't be. And I remember during the first Gulf War, and this probably happened. And as a matter of fact, I believe, I forget the guy's name that was in The Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. I think it was Cooney, Clowney. Anyway, he was Ralph Camden in the TV show. He was actually a conscientious objector, and he actually felt that, you know, killing people would be bad, but he felt that he needed to serve. And so what he did was he actually said, hey, I'm a conscientious objector, but I will be happy to be a corpsman or a medic. I don't know which branch of service, but he went into a branch of service where he could actually work and save the lives of those, you know, kids that were surrendering or actually sacrificing their all. And so they cannot force you to do certain things. The federal government was held, and now the states are held to these same standards. The states cannot pass any law that infringes upon your privileges. But everybody says, well, no, that doesn't apply to the Second Amendment. But it does. Because that is an individual privilege and immunity. They cannot pass any laws that actually abridge them, because that's what it says. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the United States, which the Constitution identifies what those privileges and immunities are. The last one is, or the last part is, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, or to deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So there's the due process and equal protection of the laws. So states and cities and so forth have gotten themselves in trouble by the 14th Amendment because they weren't allowing, and as a matter of fact, this is starting to happen today, because the reverse discrimination is happening. Have you ever been to Hawaii? As a haole, being in Hawaii, there's been many a times where, you know, a haole will actually be not allowed to do things. Now, they never pass the laws that way, but when a state or city does pass the laws, just like with the civil rights problems, when they started passing laws, that actually, and that's why it came up to this whole 14th Amendment issue. And so one of the things that bothers me with some constitutionalists is they look at the 14th Amendment as a bad amendment. I think it's a great amendment. In some respects, I believe that we needed to get there, and the Civil War proved that we had to ensure that every human being is protected, their individual privileges and immunities, because the states should never be allowed to actually castigate or to identify a race, ethnicity, or anything like that, and be able to castigate them and vilify them. Remember, that's again like what the progressives have gotten away with throughout the history, as I just pointed out and listed Germany, Italy, Russia, China, and so forth, or the USSR. So the second section is the representatives shall be apportioned among the several states according to their respective numbers, counting the whole number of persons in each state, excluding Indians not taxed. The whole point of this one section right there is to ensure that blacks were no longer going to be 3/5 of an apportionment. They were to count as a whole person. But when the right to vote at an election for the choice of electors for president and vice president of the United States, representatives in Congress, the executive and judicial officers of a state, or the members of the legislature thereof, is denied to any of the male inhabitants in such state, being 21 years of age and citizens of the United States, or in any way abridged, except for the participation in rebellion or other crime, the basis of representation therein shall be reduced to the proportion which the number of such males shall bear the whole number of males citizens 21 years of age in such states. And so they're basically stating that the apportionment was going to be fixed at one. It was to male voters. But here they were still allowing poll taxes. In the 14th Amendment, they just wanted to make sure that the right to vote for president or any officers, any members of the legislature, is denied to any male inhabitant of such state, being 21 years of age and citizens of the United States, or in any way abridged except for participation in rebellion. So in other words, if you were one of those who supported the Civil War, or if you're participating, I want you to get this key thing here, folks. Anybody that is out there protesting the Constitution and protesting the, you know, our form of Republican form of government, right here, right there, it says that they can be denied their voting privileges. And the basis representation therein shall be reduced to the portion which the number of such males shall bear the whole of male citizens 21 years of age in such state. In other words, now if you identify these folks that cannot be, you know, allowed to vote, then and they're males of 21 years of age, and you say you cannot be, you know, you cannot be able to vote, then your apportionment goes down. Now, so if you have a lot of criminals who can't vote because the law's on the books, then your apportionment should be based on those who can't vote. Because remember, you have women felons and you have men felons, and both sexes, because the 14th Amendment is, I don't believe this has changed. I have not seen any other amendment actually call this out, that anybody that has been in rebellion and or for whatever reason they've been denied, you're supposed to adjust your representation based on that. So it's kind of like a little penalty to say, if you want to play around, then you have less representation. Because let's say 50% of the folks in your state are black and they can't pay poll taxes and you're denying them the ability to vote, then they can't be counted as your apportionment, and your apportionment in the House of Representatives goes down. Because that's the whole point of apportionment. That is the whole point of the census, of coming out and saying, well, this is how many citizens we have. And people think that based on citizens is, you know, how they're supposed to do this. I am telling you that is not how the Constitution reads it. they are supposed to actually be lowering, but everybody has been ignoring Section 2, which is why states like the state of California, who counts illegal aliens who aren't supposed to be able to vote, they're actually not supposed to be able to have this apportionment. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So why? Why is this more important than what the heck is going on with the impeachment? Than the whatever they're, you know, just splashing across the mainstream media? Why is this more important? Well, first off, we've covered what is the clarity in defining a citizen and how people can become citizens. Because bottom line, there has to be a uniform law of naturalization. There's not like, oh, well, if you can get away with or being a kid and because you are a victim, no. There is a uniform standard for immigration, and the laws must be abided by, or they must be followed. So here's the point, that we already see that the 14th Amendment clarifies the true citizenship, who you are of jurisdiction to. To obtain jurisdiction to the United States, you have to come in here with permission. You have to come in here with permission of a visa and or with a like a work visa or what have you, or in your application for citizenship. That's the only way you can come in. You sneak in, you violate our laws, then you have to go back and you're done. There is only one way to do this, my friends, and that is by deporting everyone. And this can be done, especially this can be done by mass volunteerism. Because when we start complying to the Constitution and all the freebies go away, there's not going to be any money left coming from the government for anybody to justify the fact, because they're gaming us. If you've looked, their studies have come out where even though they may be making cash under the table as workers, and using identity fraud. I mean, they're committing a lot of different crimes. Identity fraud and so forth, because they have to have a social security number and so forth. And what are they doing? They're also got the wife, because they don't have any reported income. They're getting free food. They're food stamps. They're getting welfare, housing assistance. It's just like the refugees that they're bringing here are getting money from Social Security. Are you kidding me? This is not what the framers definitely did not believe. We should be supporting enemies, people who were violating our laws. In addition, states can't be passing laws that abridge the immunities and privileges of their citizens. Do you think your rights and your privileges and immunities are being abridged when they're affording those same things to non-citizens? Actually, in a way, they are. And so these things are huge problems. And who are the big champions for illegal aliens to get a free pass to citizenship, violating the existing laws on the books? In other words, they're supporting this rebellious behavior from this invasion that has been methodically been going on for years and years. This is why Section 3 is very powerful of the 14th Amendment. This is why I am diving into the details of the 14th Amendment, because if you're interested in the solution, it's right here, my friends, because here is the teeth in the Constitution. Because you got to remember, treason is a high bar to obtain a conviction. You can charge somebody with treason, and then you can go through the process, and you may not be able to get a conviction to where we can hang the person. However, in that same trial and in that same process, if you can't at least get treason, you'll at least get a violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which actually has a punishment to it as well. And almost an equally good punishment. Almost. Even though there were people that wanted to see people hanged. Anyway, this is Section 3. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or an elector. Now, you understand what an elector is, right? Because we go through this a lot. An elector is somebody that you choose and they will vote for president. In other words, you don't vote on a ballot for president. You vote for an elector and they choose. Even the 14th Amendment keeps this non-popular vote away. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows for a popular vote, not even the 12th Amendment. They have violated the Constitution in creating a popular vote. So, or elector, because the elector actually has the same qualification standards as a congressman, but he cannot be a congressman. He or she cannot be a congressperson. They cannot hold any other office. So it's basically a position of honor and privilege. And the elector votes again for president and for vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who have having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislator or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support. So in other words, if you have taken an oath as a county commissioner, state legislator, sheriff, anybody who has taken an oath, and this is clarified in the 14th Amendment debates. We'll get into that next. But what we want to do is get through this and give you the understanding. And when I say next, what that means is we want to get into this in our next episode, because I've only got 4 minutes to kind of cover what's left here. So in other words, no person shall be able to be an elected public servant. And they haven't identified what the hammer is, right? Or executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection. Okay, so in here, they say that anybody, let me get here, who have previously taken an oath, comma. In other words, anybody who has taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States. So I'm putting a dot, 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 and I'm going over all of these other types of public servants that they identify. So anyone who has previously taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same. And what is it saying? A rebellion against the Constitution, not the government, the Constitution, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may by vote of 2/3 of each house remove such disability. In other words, you can remove a member from the state legislature, from the county commissioners, anybody who has taken an oath to support the Constitution, and they've engaged in a rebellious behavior against the Constitution or given aid or comfort to the enemies, can be removed from office and have a lifetime disability placed upon them to where they can no longer ever become a public servant. The only way that this disability can be removed is by having a 2/3 vote in each house of Congress. In other words, you have to have 2/3 in the House of Representatives and 2/3 to vote for. And right now, you couldn't even get 2/3 vote in either house because they're never occupied by that big of a majority. They never are. Right? So what we're trying to say here, folks, and it's very, very clear that when you see somebody that is engaging and or supporting like sanctuary states or dreamers and giving dreamers a path to citizenship, they are absolutely violating the Constitution and the laws of the land by creating some path to citizenship that is not truly a law of the land that has been signed by the president, where legislation has come from the House of Representatives as well as the Senate. That is why President Obama was the one that created the Dreamer Act. And if you understand Trump being saying, oh, I want to get involved in this and I want to do this, he's violating the Constitution as well. If you understand anybody that is doing this, you can remove them from office. Now, we can't do this because we can't get anybody on board with this, but we can. We can definitely start doing this because if we start using Republic Review as the catalyst in getting and obtaining compliance, if you want to drain the swamp, if you want to really get rid of all the problems, in addition to getting rid of all the unconstitutional government, we'll actually be able to get rid of all the people who have violated the Constitution. And if we can't hang them, we can at least make sure that they can never be a public servant ever again. Isn't that powerful? If you look at what the heck is going on and you start seeing, I'm telling you, there are breadcrumbs that will go to probably every single senator and every single congressperson and even every president over the last century who has violated the Constitution. Now, we're going to get into the debates of Section 3 in our next episodes. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.